GreenSense is brought to you by JLT Specialty USA, the world's largest energy insurance broker, serving the entire energy continuum. Visit JLTUS.com.
Welcome to GreenSense, a weekly look at the people, policies, and innovations that are changing our world. Here's Robert Colangelo.
Hey, I'm your host for GreenSense.
And I'm Bob Kessler, your executive producer.
We explore environmental issues, learn about sustainable innovations, and meet passionate people that are changing the world. What a great job.
It is a good job, but their ideas do have to make economic and common sense to get on the show.
And I make sure that they make environmental sense. Who do we have this week?
Oh, this is a good one. Jerry Harrison, guitarist for Talking Heads. They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, he does a lot more. He's a great musician, record producer, but he's getting into crowdfunding. So we'll learn about Red Crow, the crowdfunding platform he helped found along with his business partner, Brian Smith. So we'll meet both those guys. Also, we'll check in with the Roddenberry Foundation, as in Gene Roddenberry, creator of Star Trek. Well, his son has been giving out millions of dollars to some amazing sustainable innovations, and they just announced two. So we'll actually check in with Gene Roddenberry's daughter-in-law, Heidi Roddenberry. It's all coming up on this week's Green Sense.
Star Trek's boldly better future is being made real by the Roddenberry Foundation, which honors Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry. The foundation's run by his son, Rod, and Rod's wife, Heidi Roddenberry, who's the organization's president and joins us now to talk about the $1 million in prize money that they just awarded. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. It is an honor to be back or to join you today.
Yeah, we had a great conversation with your husband, Rod, and when we talked last fall, and at that time, the foundation was just launching the competition and looking for applications. So just in case somebody had missed that show, give us a quick recap.
Well, what's interesting is we really opened up the entire prize to the entire world. In line with the Roddenberry philosophy of celebrating diversity and seeking out innovation for solving some of the world's biggest problems, we even went to the IRS and said, hey, let us give money to anybody, and we got permission.
How many applications did you receive?
We received 600 applications from 55 countries over six continents.
That's amazing, because I filled out an application, and it was a little bit laborious, not laborious, but there was some effort that had to be done. So tell us a little bit about the prize winners. There was $1 million split between them. How was it split, and how many winners were there?
We had one grand prize winner, and that was Opus 12. They received $400,000. And then we had four what we called innovation awards that were at $150,000.
So Opus 12 converts CO2 into other gases. And it's got to do with tell us a little bit about that. Why did you pick that?
First, let me specify that even though I said that everyone was open to apply for the prize, there were three criteria that were most important for applicants. They needed to have transformational impact, and not only just have an amazing idea that could change the world, they needed to have an implementation plan, because we're about making things a reality. And then, in tune with the Roddenberry philosophy, it had to be a bold idea. We were looking for audacious ideas. Then what we did is we sought a diverse group of judges to be a panel to then score the all the applicants to then come up with prize winners. So we really made this as democratic, as possible. So we had 8 judges, and we really sought a diversity of experience, both from a personal standpoint and a professional standpoint. And then before all the applicants got to the judges, we also had subject matter experts vet all of them. So there was a pretty significant vetting and judging criteria that got us to these 5 winners, if you will.
Will you be doing this on an annual basis?
Great question. We believe so. We had a really remarkable experience learning about, because we really open sourced this, if you will. We crowdsourced this. We said, hey, everybody, we want to hear about your great ideas and let's make the world a better place. And we had an overwhelming response. And I'm sorry that you felt that the application process might have been laborious. But, you know, this whole effort has been an education to us as well. And we have been surveying and polling and discussing with many people along the way. And I'll tell you that the results we got of all the applicants, because we said to them, would you do this again? Did you think that this was too much hard work? Was it too easy? What did you think about it? And about, I believe it said something like 98% of the people would do it again. And I think there were only a couple of people that thought it was
We would do it again too, but it took some effort. So, but let's get to another one of the winners. You had some really interesting winners, and again, this one's sort of reminiscent of Star Trek: Smart Snones. It helps people with severe autism communicate. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, this was a really cool one that came through. They call it's a body language-based sensory tool that enables communication for non-people globally. And so, of course, it includes people with severe autism. Let's see, what can I tell you about? They have, it's a Bluetooth device that detects various kinds of sensor data, ranging from touch and motion sensors. They have cameras, even biological data like brain waves, facial expressions, eye movement. It's a pretty remarkable device.
It sounds wonderful. What did you learn from this competition, and how would you change things in the future if you're going to hold this on an annual basis?
That's a good question. Well, some of the things that we are analyzing is, it seems like we did really hit the mark with putting out money and opening it up to anyone. We're trying to analyze if the prize purse was beneficial, because remember, these applicants needed to not only have an idea of transformational impact, there needed to be an implementation plan, because like I said, we want this to really come to fruition. We're not sure if $400,000 is a good number necessarily, or if $150,000 is a good number. So we're asking for more input and soliciting input and advice from others to figure out if we have to adjust that in any way. Let me think if there's anything else.
Well, it's always good to develop metrics to see if your money has had the desired impact. And I got to commend you. It's hard to hold a competition. And for your first one, I think this was actually quite successful. So we'd really like to have you back on the show next year if you launch the campaign. And then we'd really like to hear about next year's winners. So thanks for taking the effort to do this and joining us on Green Sense.
Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate it, and I would love to.
That's Roddenberry Foundation President Heidi Roddenberry. Find out more about the Roddenberry Prize winners on this week's show notes. Subscribe to the Green Sense Radio podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play by visiting greensensefarms.com. This is a first for Green Sense. We've had movie stars, we've had elected officials, but this is the first time we've had a rock and roll Hall of Famer here on Green Sense. And here's why. Equity crowdfunding has been very active since the SEC changed the rules last year, and there are many crowdfunding platforms that are emerging every day so that regular people like all of us can invest in startups through online public offerings, many of which involve sustainable innovations. One of the newest is Red Crow, which has been founded by Jerry Harrison, guitarist and keyboard player for Talking Heads, and financial advisor Brian Smith. Welcome, guys.
It's great to be here, Robert.
Brian, Red Crow focuses on healthcare and positive social impact startups. What made you guys decide to go that route?
Yeah, it's a great question, Robert. So, you know, a little bit more about my background. I was a financial advisor at Morgan Stanley working with high net worth clients. And a company came my way, which was working on a very personal cause to me and my family. And it was helping to make labor and delivery safer and prevent premature birth, something I experienced at a very high level when we were expecting our first child. And this company I fell in love with. The issue was, for them to move forward, they needed VC and investment bank type dollars, and yet they would not get any attention from VCs. So I thought if I could bring some high net worth investors to them, perhaps they could be funded. And so I made a decision to leave Morgan Stanley, got involved with this company, helped them raise the money. And what it showed me, Robert, over the last 6 years, something that's become very clear to me, is that a lot of your investors, I don't care if they're accredited or not accredited, many want to invest in things they know, they understand, and they want to make a difference in the world. So when the idea came to create Red Crow, Jerry Harrison, you know, we have a background, a little history there. And I said, Jerry, want to do this crowdsourcing site, want to be a direct investment platform, and I want to focus on healthcare. Well, it so happens Jerry has some very interesting involvement with healthcare companies. So for us, it was a natural fit, and not to mention a good friend of ours, Dr. Stephen Shia, sits on the board. He and his family own J&B Medical out of Wixom, Michigan, and they have their finger on the pulse of the healthcare industry and those companies making a social impact. So it was a bit of a no-brainer, and we also thought the most important piece, compared to many of the other crowdfunding, crowdsourcing sites out there, they take a shotgun approach. It's everything and anything, and we just felt like if we picked the niche, we could be the leaders in that niche for people, investors within that niche that could come and invest, and companies could come and bring their opportunities on our platform.
Well, Brian, I think that's a great idea because our listeners know that we've just recently gone through a equity crowdfunding. And one of my thoughts was as this market evolves, that people are going to get specialized and start to segregate into sectors. And so I think this is a great idea, and I think it's really going to add to your success. And your partner, Jerry, I saw you in 1980. I was out in the crowd there in Chicago at the Aragon Ballroom. And if anybody's ever been to the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, you know what I'm talking about. So you've stayed involved with music since Talking Heads broke up nearly 30 years ago. And you've mostly been behind the scenes as a producer, and you've done bands like Live, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and Stephen Stills. And you've also produced a documentary on the music of Memphis. What made you want to take this switch into the financial markets and help democratize the capital markets through this crowdfunding effort?
Well, when I switched to becoming a producer and when I moved to San Francisco, part of that was my wife and I were having our second child and trying to have a solo band and be on tour. We started to realize it was going to be a difficult way for me to always, I wasn't sure what level we would be at and that I would be around the family. So producing became important. But when I came to San Francisco, I ended up on the board of directors of a friend of mine's company from college called MicroUnity. I then was a co-founder of, in a way, one of the originators of crowdsourcing, which was called GarageBand.com. Now, it's not the GarageBand that Apple, he licensed the name from us, but it was a way of looking for new music that would resonate with people and then producing the music in the same way that someone who wins American Idol, that then they would get a record contract. So we were really the first to do this, and in some ways, because we had to use the traditional record distribution system, and then it kind of ran into trouble when 9/11 came along and all of the venture money sort of dried up. The company morphed into becoming iLike. Eventually, it became the fastest growing app on Facebook, and went from 3 million to 30 million users in 6 months, and eventually was sold to MySpace. And I was involved with then a couple of other startups here. So I've been sort of fascinated by the venture world. And I kind of said, like, finding a new company is sort of like finding a new band or finding a new artist. It's like you're looking for something that you think, you know, it's an idea that will capture the imagination and the excitement of the public, or serves a real need. And how I specifically got to this is that I have been helping a friend of mine, a scientist, who has a broad spectrum antidote for snake bites. And snake bites are sort of the world's most neglected problem. Snake bites kill more than all neglected tropical diseases combined once you remove malaria from the list. And of course, you might say with the funding that the Gates Foundation is doing, that it is no longer a neglected disease. And snake bites, so it kills more than 100,000 people and maims a half to million to a million people a year. And yet people kind of just think of it as solved. So that started to make me familiar with the process of getting through the FDA and all of these kind of regulations. So when Brian, with his experience with Mindscape, came and we started talking about doing a company that could do crowdfunding, I also saw that I thought that a lot of people would have the dream of investing in something like a new Facebook or Uber or Airbnb. But having been around the venture world and having been involved with some things that failed, I knew that there's a lot of risk there. And I was trying to say, like, how can we, be a little bit more careful in the companies we choose? Having Dr. Shaya as sort of a filter, we knew was a really great way to help that. And we've hired other physicians and scientists who kind of help us look at the basic science or the basic problem that's trying to be solved and go, do these people really have a good shot? We try to look at the financials of the company. And finally, we're marrying both traditional Title II investing, where you do have accredited investors, with Title III, because we think if there are people who have means, who have, we'll say, more ability to investigate the viability of a company, that will once again make it a more substantial investment for the new investor that is coming into the Title III market.
If you've just joined us, my guests are Jerry Harrison, guitarist and keyboard player for Talking Heads, and financial advisor Brian Smith, and we're talking about their new equity crowdfunding portal, Red Crow, here on GreenSense. I'm Robert Colangelo. As I said, I've had some experience out there with this Title III raise, and I want to talk a little bit about Red Crow, how it's unique and how you're different out there in this platform. One of the things that I found as a user of these portals was that it's very confusing between the Title II, Title III, and it's also confusing with the financing, the marketing, all the different aspects that you have to do to be able to list your company. Have you made that streamlined and easy? Or I could ask it a different way. How are you unique and different than the other portals out there?
Sure. Robert, excellent question. And you know, everything you just talked about really evolves around the regulations within this space. I mean, this is not Kickstarter and Indiegogo anymore, where you're basically making a donation and you're getting a t-shirt or, you know, a product. You're dealing with real investments here. So one of the things we just did recently was we hired a gentleman by the name of Chris Leia. Chris is a rock star for sure in his industry. He comes from USAA as their chief legal and compliance officer. Chris was on the sidelines, newly retired, and it's an amazing win for us to have been able to bring him in. And so what we've done is we're being very methodical about our rollout. We launched November 1st, strictly Title II, so accredited investors, to get that right as we go through preparing to launch Title III and dealing with FINRA right now to have that. But with that said, one of the things, as Jerry alluded to, that's very important is how we curate and vet what ends up on our site. So we have what we call Discover Supernovas, and that's a period of time a company spends on our site getting market feedback from our advisors, getting analytical feedback from our financial advisors, and getting, more importantly, as we say, the wisdom of the crowd feedback, the crowd giving and weighing in on what they think about this product. And from there, you start to craft and create their marketing campaign. And it takes a lot to be on a site. It's not as simple as just joining up, as you probably know, Robert. If you build it, they will come and the money's going to come flowing in. That isn't it. And so you're going to hear it for the first time, us using it. We are basically saying that Red Crow is an equity niche funding platform. And so with our niche being in healthcare, we're very specific in who we target and how we target them.
And we also are using that as who the initial investors that we're targeting are. We have a sort of saying is invest in what you know. Because we kind of feel that if you're a fledgling investor, if you know something about an industry, then you're going to know if a product really might resonate. And you also might know whether the science behind something seems, you're skeptical of it. So we are going to be marketing, doing a lot of marketing directly to doctors and people. You know, if you would take, for instance, what Brian's previous company, the baby monitor, we would probably try to find labor and delivery nurses, midwives, families who have had problem pregnancies, obstetricians, anesthesiologists, and market to them. And because we think that they will not only, when they give us feedback on the Discover Supernovas, that feedback will be meaningful. It won't be like, oh yeah, it's, you know, well, an electric bike, cool. But it'll be more than, you know, it'll be something, it'll be more salient. And we think, and we're hoping that we can build on, as we say, the wisdom of the crowd and the wisdom of this community we're building. And then that community will get larger, and the variety of types of people who will be coming to the community will have new perspectives. And, you know, we think it's very possible that we will add other, what we call verticals, but there's a lot of, but this is the first one to do. Also, it was very important for us to be in doing companies that have a social impact. And healthcare is one of the fields that it's sort of almost automatic. If it really can solve this health problem, it's doing good for the world. Other companies, it's almost like you might have to do an audit of their energy use, the use of, like, you know, what do they do with the waste products of the process, or even the packaging. And we thought that was something for further down the road. Health, we thought, we wanted something that, like, people looked at it and go, like, oh, just as I felt with the health, you know, just as I felt with the steak bite company, and Brian felt with the baby monitor company, is like, oh man, if we can make this work, this is going to change the world. This is going to be fantastic.
Well, Brian and Jerry, I really share your enthusiasm out there for crowdfunding. And I have a long list of questions I didn't get to. So we're just going to have you back on the show and continue this dialogue and monitor your progress out there. But again, I commend you and being focused and going into vertical markets. I think that's going to be the trend as equity crowdfunding evolves. So thanks for being on the show, and we wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us, Robert.
Okay.
That's Brian Smith and Jerry Harrison, former Morgan Stanley Financial Advisor and or Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. I'm Robert Calangelo, reminding you to subscribe to GreenSense Radio on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher when you visit GreenSenseBombs.com.
Green Sense is brought to you by JLT Specialty USA, the world's largest energy insurance broker serving the entire energy continuum. Visit usa.jlt.com.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Green Sense. We have a question for you. Bob and I are out there every week talking and searching for lots of people to give you interesting and informative guests. Is there anyone we've missed? Is there anyone out there that you think we should be interviewing that would be interesting, entertaining, and informative? If so, send me an email to robert@greensenseshow.com to let us know who that is. And we'll be back next week with...
You know that Frank Zappa song? Studebaker Hawk, Studebaker Hawk. You know that one? From Mothers of Invention, live and out. Anyway, yes. Studebaker was an automobile manufacturer in South Bend, and when they went out of business, they left a huge facility. Well, that is being redeveloped into an innovation center, so we'll learn more about that.
Subscribe to the Green Sense Radio podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play by visiting greensensefarms.com, and you can also see a list of radio stations that air our show. Our goal is to be an honest broker of sustainable information so that you can make informed decisions. To do that, you got to stay fresh, keep innovating, because when you're green, you grow.